The defending Super Bowl champions and the favorites to win this year's Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs, will make their playoff debut today, tomorrow, against the Browns at Arrowhead Stadium. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, and Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas. Let's preview this matchup between the number one seed of the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Cleveland Browns, who are coming off their first playoff win since 1994 last week in their upset as a six-point dog against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right out of the gate, first snap of the game for Pittsburgh, the Browns jumped all over the Steelers and became the first team in 30 years with 25-plus points and 3-plus takeaways in a single quarter of a playoff game and their upset win. This week, the 14-2 Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs dominated through the first half of the season. They went 7-1. Margin of victory during that stretch of the season, nearly 16 points per game. The Chiefs in the second half of the season, still 7-1. Of course, they're a great team, but their average margin of victory dropped to 3.85 points per game. Andy Reid, 25-5 off a bye. He's never been beaten by the Browns. 7-0 lifetime against Cleveland. James Salinas, Kansas City, the 9.5-point home favorite. The total, 57 tomorrow at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, Mike, and I see a lot of 10s out here, too. So I know it has toggled back and forth, but a lot of 10s as far as Kansas City being that big favorite here in this spot. And so I didn't play. I was trying to make a case to want to play Cleveland for four quarters and take that 10 points. But for me, I found a better number that kind of fit my situation. I don't have any models, but as far as my situations go, I'm not a big trends player. But one of the things for me as a sports bettor in the NFL for quite a while was kind of betting against teams in these types of spots. When we're talking about a number one and a number two seed, in this case, just this year, it was just the number one seed had that week bye, but not just so much the 1 week off between the division game and the wild card game, but ultimately taking weeks off prior. We've seen that with a number of teams. We saw that with the Baltimore Ravens last year. They clinched very early. They clinched home field back, I believe, in week 15 last year. So they really kind of coasted towards the end of the season as well as having that bye. And it kind of takes a while for teams to flip the switch. It's not just that easy just to step on the field and say, all right, we're ready to just pick up where we left off, whether it was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. In this case, for Kansas City and that offense, they haven't taken a competitive snap as far as Mahomes and company goes since week 16, so that's 3 weeks there. And then really prior to that, throughout the month of December, fellas, they hadn't really executed very well offensively in the first half. The last four starts for Mahomes in December for an offense in that first half, they've only scored 44 points. So it's kind of taken them a little while. And I know you're the Super Bowl champ, right? You're going to get everybody's best punch because that's the measuring stick. And week in and week out, that's what you have to suffer through as that Super Bowl champ, whether you bring the same intensity level or not. Now, I'm not saying that the intensity level won't be there for the Chiefs tomorrow or on Sunday, but ultimately, I think it's going to take them a while to get that engine revving again. And we saw that last year in the playoffs for Kansas City too. Think about the division game against the Houston Texans. Fell behind 24-0 before obviously flipping the switch on, and they made it happen come second, end of the second quarter and then throughout the remainder of the game just throttled Houston. But they've fallen behind in the playoffs as well as not gotten off to good starts here lately in the last few weeks. So in this case, I found a +7. I played a little juice. I had to pay 20 cents for it, so laying $1.20. But I did take Cleveland first half +7. Because I think with Cleveland having the momentum they had the last couple weeks have been playoff games for them, not just last week against Pittsburgh, but week 17 needing to clinch that game to get into the playoffs as well. They're playing at that level, playoff level, that intensity level, Wes. So hence, that's the only play that I've made so far in this game. No props, anything else like that. Just taking Cleveland, laying a little bit of juice, but Cleveland first half +7.
James, I love that we're on the same wavelength here. I didn't, unfortunately, get the 7. I got 6.5 at reduced vig, but I took Cleveland in the first half with the 6.5 for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, and also just from a psychological standpoint on the Cleveland side. This is a team that really hadn't had a lot of full practices. I think they had only practiced really a full-go practice one time in 2 weeks. You didn't have Kevin Stefanski. You didn't have a few assistants, but they're going to to return here. So I think Cleveland kind of, they slayed their dragon in terms of beating Pittsburgh, who had really kind of owned them in the series. And you wondered how Cleveland was going to handle being in the playoffs for the first time. And they handled it just fine, thank you, with the 28-0 first quarter lead and then hung on. They had a +5 turnover margin at Pittsburgh last week. But now I think Cleveland almost maybe looks at it like we're playing with house money. We've gotten through the tough part. We've slayed our rival, Pittsburgh, in the playoffs. Now we're going on the road. We know we're big underdogs, but we hadn't had a lot of practice, and then we didn't have all of our coaching staff available. We had a couple players out, most notably Johnson and Ward, their corners last week, and it's like, we got through the tough stuff, you know? So now we're just going to go forward and just play ball and just try to ball out here and not overthink it and not be stressed out by the pressure of a playoff situation. So more on the other side, you have Kansas City, who's essentially had two bye weeks, not like Green Bay, where Green Bay had to play in week 17 at Chicago in order to clinch that number one seed in the NFC. Kansas City didn't play their starters in week 17. Everything was all wrapped up in the AFC. So that's now 2 weeks off. So that's potential extra rust for this team. And I think Cleveland's just going to come in and just say, okay, we got nothing to lose. Everybody's expecting us to get beat against the defending Super Bowl champions. So I like them to hang in the first half. And we've seen it in the past in playoff games against Tennessee, against the Houston Texans. Kansas City can fall behind, and Kansas City kind of is like one of those flip the switch type of teams. It's like, okay, we get behind. We know we can score very quickly and score almost whenever we want. So they can turn it on. So they're never really, I think, bothered if they're all of a sudden down two scores, unlike what we saw with Pittsburgh last week, where it's like, okay, this team's in real big trouble, and they're going to have to get it going in a hurry, and then it kind of snowballed against them. I don't think the Chiefs are that type of team where it's necessarily going to happen to, and they've proven it over the last couple years. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Cleveland in the first half is absolutely a good play here, and if you want to kind of hedge for the other side, if you're looking maybe at a prop angle, obviously, with this explosive offense in Kansas City, you are going to have to throw the football. So you could perhaps look at Baker Mayfield over passing yards. I have not played that. My only play is the +6.5 at this standpoint. But I think Cleveland maybe can try to play that disrespect card. It's like, oh, we're 10-point underdogs. I mean, these guys know if they're favored or underdog. Don't let them BS you that they don't know that, that they don't watch everything and follow social media and watch all the news shows and sports and whatever. They know. So they're going to come in, I think, with a little chip on their shoulder and play a little bit more loose in the first half. So I do like the Browns first half only. I couldn't really get there for the full game, though.
Dame Salinas, best bets, Cleveland first half +7. Some other best bets, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get those best bets in your email each day. Drew Dinsick, Cleveland +10. Aaron Redding likes the Chiefs laying 9.5. Jeff Schwartz likes the Chiefs team total of 33. Some prop bets of note, Baker Mayfield, 259.5 passing yards, touchdown and a half over juice, $1.20. And Patrick Mahomes, 321.5 passing yards, 2.5 touchdowns, the over-under there, half an interception or so, the under, so that would be no interceptions for Mahomes. You would pay $1.80. Any prop bets from this game that you like, James Salinas?
No, because I think for me, the problem is we talked about the Buffalo game and really feeling like got a good handle on what these game plans are going to look like for Buffalo and Baltimore going in this matchup. Now, I think for the game plan for Cleveland, obviously the strength of that team offensively is that offensive line, tremendous offensive line, especially from the run blocking perspective. And they've got the 200 monster back there with Chubb and Hunt to be able to run the football. So, but my concern is, all right, they established the running game. That's what they're going to be able to do. But what happens when Kansas City does wake up? If I'm suspecting, yeah, they might start slow, Cleveland is able to run the football and get ahead, that's going to be the game plan going forward. But if they do fall behind, like we've seen other teams do to Kansas City, especially last year in the playoffs, when now it gets, they hit the switch, Kansas City starts to put the ball in the end zone, which I don't trust that Cleveland defense. That's probably my biggest concern, is not having Olivier Vernon as the other bookend pass rusher there with Myles Garrett. They got some issues at the linebacker position. I don't trust their secondary whatsoever to be able to cover for four quarters. Now, if it starts to get in a shootout, now does that mean that they scrap the running game and now they have to rely on Baker Mayfield? We got to start going tit for tat for as far as touchdowns go. So I'm concerned with that side because I just don't trust in the Cleveland defense to be able to allow the Cleveland offense to consistently run that game plan that they want to do for four quarters. So hence, I just don't know what that's going to look like from any of those prop plays for Cleveland because how many carries are they going to share? Who's going to get the bulk? I know Chubb gets the bulk of those carries, but Hunt also is pretty explosive, and they kind of use those guys. Whoever feels like they're the hotter running back starts to get more touches. So, Wes, I don't have any props in this game just because of I don't really know for four quarters exactly how the tempo and how this game is going to play out.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of the game flow, I think it's a little bit more boilerplate if you look at some of the other games, but this game, obviously, with the highest total on the board, is going to have the most variance from a game flow standpoint. So are we wrong in this Kansas City come out Pistons firing right away and maybe isn't sluggish out of the gate, then that totally changes the game flow. A couple early college basketballs want to get updated. We have some final scores. Florida State 82-75 over North Carolina. Seminoles get the cover as 4-point favorites. Game goes over. Pitt 96-76. Big second half for the Panthers as they sweep Jim Boeheim in the orange. Georgia gets their first SEC win on the season. 78-74 at Ole Miss. Georgia was an 8-point underdog. Marquette 73-71 final at St. John's. Marquette moved up to a 2.5-point favorite at BetMGM. So dog and under gets there. And we are also watching Ohio State and Illinois 83-78. 24 seconds left to go. Buckeyes are leading. Buckeyes, by the way, were a 7-point underdog. So looks like Chris Holtman and his guys are going to get a big road win as Illinois does hit a 3, though. Now a 2-point game. 15 seconds left in Champaign.
A pair of future Hall of Fame quarterbacks will meet in the final divisional round game on Sunday night. Drew Brees at home against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. In his career, Brees is 5-2 head-to-head against Tom Brady, including a pair of wins this year. Tom Brady has not played well for the Buccaneers against the Saints this season. These two NFC South rivals will do battle at Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Saints laying 3 as the home favorite. The total 52. James, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, there's so many storylines and angles to unpack with this matchup. So it's a great way to end the divisional round of playoffs for the NFL. This is the best weekend, in my opinion, of football from start to finish. But I think for this game here, the flow to me is going to be you have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, obviously. I think looking at the Bucs, they didn't have an offseason. Brady coming over from New England, not a whole lot of time to really be able to get acclimated to the plethora of offensive talent that they have at the wideout position, but we know what their identity is. They really haven't tried to run the football very much all season long. It's been Brady, deep routes, let's get the ball down the field and take advantage of the skill positions players that they have. What I've watched last week, now it was kind of felt like a flat playoff game last week with the Washington football team and the Bucks, but the strength of that football team on that defensive side for Washington was that front four and their ability all season long to really harass passers. And we know with Brady, he can climb the pocket, but he's not one that's going to get outside the pocket. I thought they did, talking about that Bucs offensive line, did a tremendous job of keeping Brady clean. A lot more rhythm throws. That's what Brady likes to do. He likes to be in his rhythm, find those quick, especially down the seams, he'll make those throws. But he's been very accurate when he has time. And I think from this perspective here, with both of these quarterbacks, you're going to be in a dome. You're going to have don't have to worry about the weather. It's going to be a fast track there. I do like New Orleans defense better than the Tampa Bay side, especially that secondary. I think they're very young and they're very inexperienced on the backside for Tampa. But with both of these quarterbacks having been there, done that, seen that, you're not going to confuse these guys for sure. They're going to know what's going on. They're going to be able to communicate as well because there's not going to be much crowd noise pumped into that stadium either. I just look for a mark marquee matchup with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks to be able to put a lot of points up on the board. So in this case, I'm only looking. I didn't play the side here. I can make a case for both, although I kind of lean towards the Saints to win this football game and cover that three. I'm playing the over 51.5 total. But then one other one that I did also was found a prop for Tom Brady over 2.5 touchdown passes at plus 166. I like the value with that because ultimately, if Tampa's going to score, it's going to come. It's not going to come through the running game. It's going to come on the arm of Tom Brady.
Yeah, maybe playing the television programmer handicapping angle here, if you will. There's a reason this got put in the late Sunday slot because they expect an exciting game. They're not thinking it's going to be 13-10. So that lends credence, I think, to James's overplay. I lean to the Saints here in the spot, too. I haven't played it yet. I've kind of been waiting to see what lowish number I could get maybe on a money line and how low it'll go. But they dominated Tampa basically in two games this season. So I'm not really buying into that narrative of, oh, it's tough to beat a team three times. It's not necessarily if you're better than the other team. And I do think the Saints are better in that matchup. Look, credit Tampa. They kept Tom Brady clean. They had 500 plus yards on a very good Washington football team defense. So the offense clearly is firing. So I have not played a side or total. I lean to New Orleans, but James might be talking me into that over here for sure.
No fans in attendance in much of college basketball this season. Is there a home court advantage? Yes, there is. More to come. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The next Ron Flatter Racing Pod, William Hill's Joe Asher talks about the making of the Kentucky Derby futures. Trainer Michael Stidham discusses his Derby hopefuls Manor House and Proxy. And DraftKings Sportsbook's Johnny Avello handicaps weekend races. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod available for download now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios of the South Point in Las Vegas with an update on what's happening in college basketball.
Yeah, we are final in Champaign. Ohio State gets the win 87-81, pretty much a wire-to-wire job for the Buckeyes as they led throughout. So Ohio State, if you took them on the money line, plus 260, so a nice cash to start your Saturday afternoon. Big win, though, on the road for the Buckeyes as they're trying to kind of get into that contention at the top of the conference. So 87-81, your final score there. A couple games that have tipped off here in this window. We mentioned at the end of the last hour, Minnesota and Michigan. Michigan was a 5.5, 6-point favorite. Trailing so far up in the barn in Minneapolis, 14-8, about 10 minutes into the first half. So a good start for the Golden Gophers. Not a good start for the offenses down on the plains between Kentucky and Auburn. We're about 10 minutes into the game, Kentucky leading just 9-2 as Auburn has 2 points in the first 9 minutes of the game. Wildcats -2.5 on the in game, 120.5 on the total. And by the way, that Michigan Minnesota in game, Wolverines -1.5, 129.5 on the total. Also, another ranked team in action, that's Creighton at Butler. Butler Bulldogs out early, 13-12 over number 8 Creighton in Hinkle Fieldhouse. Creighton -5.5 on the in game, 140.5 the total.
The conventional wisdom is without fans of the stands because of COVID-19 in many places. Home court advantage is not a factor, but I kind of tallied up the numbers. Home court advantage among Power 5, home teams are winning 76% of the time. That's prior to today. And, of course, Illinois gets upset at home by Ohio State here in the early games. But if you look at the Big Ten, 80.7% of the time home teams are winning the games there. It's 76.4% of the time in the ACC, 78% of the time in the Southeastern Conference. In the Big 12, it's 66.2% of the time. Now, I'm talking straight up, not against the spread or anything like that. That's for more in-depth folks like Greg Hoops Peterson. But James Salinas, there is a Big Ten matchup of interest today at United Supermarkets Arena in Lubbock, Texas. The second-ranked Baylor Bears off to an 11-0 start. They're four-point favorites against the Red Raiders in Lubbock.
Yeah, big. Obviously, this is going to be the biggest test for Baylor in the Big 12 so far. They're undefeated, 11-0 and 4-0 in the conference, and playing Texas Tech. I think we know what the identity is of both of these teams, and so that's what I. And for me, Wes, when I really start to get into college basketball and start betting college basketball, it's going to be more so conference play than at a conference play, because sometimes we just know that we see this, and we see this in all sports. Sometimes these teams just don't show up, but in conference play, typically these teams come ready to play, in particular teams that are playing at home as an underdog. Now, I didn't play Texas Tech here in this spot. It was four and a half, five. Now that's dropping. I see some 3.5s out here now. So some money is coming in on Texas Tech to move that number. But in this sense, I did bet the first half under 65.5. And I did it from this standpoint here. We know how both of these teams match up. I think they're both very similar in stature. Neither team starts with any bigs inside. It's not kind of one of those inside out. We'll see that in college basketball where there is a size discrepancy there and teams can go inside and kind of opens up the perimeter game. I think from this standpoint, both of these teams are exceptional on the defensive side on the perimeter because they're very interchangeable as far as players go. They have the ability to switch screens when necessary, as well as I think offensively, both these teams kind of probe off the dribble. In particular, Baylor, very guard oriented, very senior guard oriented, tough team to play, but in this sense, I think it's going to be a very defensive matchup. I think every shot on the perimeter is going to be contested because of their ability, both teams, to be able to play perimeter defense, switch screens here. So hence, I played the under in the first half at 65.5.
Yeah, and some 64.5 right now in the market if you're looking to play that, and that totally makes sense. My power rating had it about the same, but for Texas Tech, they did have a 5-star kid transfer about a week and a half ago, and ever since then, I think maybe that's been a little bit of a motivator for them. They were down the whole game at Texas and came back and got a win in Austin, did the Red Raiders. So, look, Baylor hasn't been tested in about over a month, early December when they played Illinois and beat them in Indianapolis. So lean a little bit to the Red Raiders, but I like that first half under James throughout.
More to come here on VSiN. If you're betting $22, hoping an 18-year-old hits a desperation three, that empty netter goes in, or an NFL coach manages the clock just right to hit that 14 parlay this weekend, we've got a suggestion. Take that $22 and invest it in yourself and your own sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22 a month, daily emails, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, and betting 101 strategy guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place that bet on yourself right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike centered in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN in studios in Las Vegas. Now, Wes does Betting Across America. He does the Green Zone later on. I see him on the edge. He did Rush Hour earlier this week. He's also on Long Shots and writes for Point Spread Weekly. And I want to get your take, Wes, on the PGA Tour Tournament, the Sony Open at Wailea Country Club in Honolulu, Hawaii, in paradise. And the Nick Taylor at 12 under, the third round leader, 12-1. And I know a lot of bettors will approach the PGA Tour differently than a typical game How do you approach betting the PGA Tour? And after round one, round two, do you adjust your strategy based on how things are going so far for you?
I do a little bit, Mike, and I'm trying to make a little bit of a change this year where I maybe have a little bit less outrights. Obviously, in a full field, you know, where you get around 150 players, I'm usually going to have maybe five guys pre-flop at various prices, usually one kind of shorter price, a couple guys in the middle, and maybe one kind of a longer bomb or a longer shot to kind of spread it out. But what we have here at BetMGM now, they are offering in play for basically all the tournaments. A lot of books maybe only do it for majors or Players Championship or a WGC event, but they're offering prices right now. So you mentioned Nick Taylor, who of course is the leader, now adjusted at 10-1. We'll see if Taylor can do the wire-to-wire job like he did last year at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. But a lot of the guys that were the pre-tournament favorites that are kind of lurking up there, Webb Simpson right now 13-2 at +650, Colin Morikawa at 9-1. My nearest guy is one stroke back, Mark Leishman 20-1. Now, keep in mind he was 66-1 before the tournament started, so they're not going to adjust too much when you have a guy lurking. But that's basically what I like to do in terms of a futures market, is kind of try to play a little bit. You don't want to go like all the big favorites. I mean, I see some guys and they're going to take the four or five shortest prices. It's like, well, I'm going to take DJ at 8-1, or I'm going to take Rahm at 9-1, and you're taking all those. The chalk is going to win sometimes, but it's not going to hold every week. I mean, you will see guys that are 150-200-1 shots win PGA Tour events. We saw next week's event, the American Express, the last 2 years, I think Adam Long was a 500-1 shot 2 years ago to win, and he won. Coincidentally, his Twitter account is a long shot, so he certainly was 2 years ago. And then Andrew Landry was 200-1 to win that same event last year and went ahead and did that. So, you know, you will get bombs that win these events, but that's kind of like my strategy. I like to spread it out. I don't want to go too chalky, but I don't want to go with too many bombs either. So I try to kind of spread it out a little bit. Guys that fit the course, guys that are horses for course, have good course history, or maybe in good recent form. It kind of varies week to week. Some places it's like, okay, the guys that typically win or the guys that typically place high there do very well, and they do very well year after year after year. And then sometimes you're basically going on recent form where it's like, okay, this guy's got a bunch of top tens in a row. He's knocking on the door for a win. That's kind of what we saw with Harris English actually last week. If you go to the better part of last year, he had a lot of top tens and was getting close, just couldn't kind of kick the door in, but finally did and won the playoff over Joaquin Niemann. So yeah, you definitely want to keep in mind the short form, you know, 2-3 months kind of coming in, see if guys are getting top fives, top tens, making cuts, seeing how they're performing at that level.
James, as a former Super Contest winner, obviously you've made your name in football betting, and you're very good at that, very insightful. But you also do a lot of other sports betting as well in other sports, NBA, college basketball. Is there a sport that you enjoy outside of football season to bet and one that you can find advantages in?
College basketball is for me, but like I was talking about in one of the earlier segments, I wait till conference play, because I think we see a lot of these, especially in normal times, right, where you're having the Maui Invitational and a lot of different tournaments, kind of in a sense preseason tournaments. Teams are really what you see in November and into December, especially non-conference, is not the same team that you're going to see come January and especially February gearing up for March Madness. And so I like to really get my assessment. I'm definitely more of an eye test guy. I got to see the teams, and in particular college basketball, you know, they usually just go 7-8 deep. So it's not a lot of players to really get a handle on. And in basketball in particular, you are what you are, right? It's not like you have different game plans and different sets each and every week going into certain games, because you're playing pretty frequently, as opposed to football, where you could change the identity of your team based on your opponent a lot of times based on game plan. But when it comes to college basketball, this is when we start to now as football's starting to wind down, start to grab more time to watch college basketball, see the intensity level, because I think that's what I like most about conference play is teams know each other. They get after it. When you have teams that are playing at max intensity and they're playing with full effort, that's when you really get to assess how good is this team? How do they operate on both the offense and the defensive side, as opposed to what you see kind of in November and December with those non-conference schedules, Mike? So really, for me, college basketball is one that I like. And then when we get into the NBA, it's more so when we're gearing up for the playoffs, because I think we see, regardless of whether it's COVID or not, it's such a grind of a schedule for 82 games, and in this sense this year 72 games, to really, there's plenty of flat spots for teams. It's identifying, really picking out spots in the NBA to find good spots where you know this team is going to come ready to play, as opposed to other teams that may be having a long travel, have some injuries, those types of things. So I tread lightly when we're talking about NBA at this time of the year.
And James, I'm with you on college basketball simply because you have so many unique handicaps. Conference play is going to be different from conference tournaments, which are going to be predominantly on neutral sites, except for the lower majors where the top seed is going to get to host the tournament, but also the NCAA tournament, especially in this COVID environment that we're dealing with. Usually in the NCAA tournament on neutral sites, you have fans in the stands that are always going to pull for the underdog. If you have like a 13 seed that's right in the game with the 4 seed, they're going to side with that underdog unless they're a fan base of that 4 seed or that higher seed. So you're not going to have that dynamic this year in the NCAA tournament with no spectators at these events in Indianapolis. So certainly an adjustment coming forward, handicapping the NCAA tournament.
We'll talk all 4 divisional round matchups of the NFL when we return on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any pro football playoff game with bonus code VSIN100 and a touchdown is scored in any game throughout the playoffs. Download the app or sign up online today. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF at Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett's in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. 4 divisional round playoff games this weekend. It all gets underway a little bit later this afternoon. Lambeau Field in Green Bay, the Packers hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Of course, John Wolford injured. He is out. Could have started this week, may have started this week, depending upon Jared Goff's health. He is coming off of that thumb surgery, the broken and dislocated thumb. But with Wolford out, it will be Jared Goff starting at quarterback. Blake Bortles will be the backup for the Rams, going against a Green Bay team, number 1 of the NFC, featuring Aaron Rodgers, a revitalized Aaron Rodgers. They should draft a quarterback in the first round every year after 48 touchdowns in just 5 picks, and a favorite target of his, Davante Adams. The line, Packers laying 6.5, James Salinas.
Yeah, and right now that game for me is going to be just an in-game play as far as side and or total. I lean towards the under in this matchup, but ultimately I just couldn't get there for either side based on some of the injuries that we've talked about with the Rams, starting with Donald. We know Donald's going to be out there, but how effective is he going to be with that rib injury, especially the position that he plays, right? He's going to be down. He's going to have a hand in the dirt or hand on the ground and just engaging with 280, 300-pound linemen consistently, having to – what kind of pressure does that put? We don't know yet. So I want to really see that because he is the most disruptive defensive player in the NFL. So that's a big injury for in my mind, as well as then Cooper Kupp. I think on the offensive side for the Rams, the most important player to that offense is Cooper Kupp because of the versatility. He's a great route runner, and he has tremendous hands, and now they've paid him as such at the wide receiver position. But he also does a lot of other things, too, as far as his ability to block downfield as a receiver, move around in the slot. He also moves around a lot of motion that gives key indicators for Jared Goff and those quarterbacks to really try to give them a read on what the defense is running. So I just want to see how effective he's going to be. Number one, is Kupp going to play, and how effective he's going to be once he's out there on the field. So hence, I don't have a good feel for this game going into it based on where that number is. Wes had talked about this earlier, like these numbers are going to be very sharp at this point. We've got the eight, you know, we're down to the elite eight in a sense. These are the best teams out there in National Football League, so these numbers are going to be sharp. Hence, that's why I've really tried to find a lot, if I didn't like a side or a total, trying to find these prop market bets, which are great here in Colorado, to be honest. Not only before the game starts, but also there's a number of operators out here that have live prop bets as the game's going. So that's something that I'm continuing to get engaged with as well. So right now, Wes, the only play that I've made so far in this game was Cam Akers, his attempts at 16.5 going over. I think that's going to be the recipe success for this offense for the Rams. He has become the workhorse for them these last few weeks coming into the playoffs through December. He's going to get plenty of touches to try to move the football and keep some pressure off of Goff at the quarterback position.
Halftime at the Barn in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 30-23 lead over the Michigan Wolverines. So Gophers first half will get there, and a 6-point underdog at pre-flop. But yeah, James, I'm with you. And in terms of the injuries you noted about Kupp, and by the way, we will bring you all the actives and inactives on the Green Zone, which will follow this very program, Betting Across America, as they are released. Now we're starting to see some sevens show up, though, in the market. Still 6.5 here at BetMGM. Minus $1.15 vig on the Green Bay side, but seven right here where I sit at the South Point here in South Las Vegas, and a couple other books in the market also moving to seven here. So Green Bay is going to get the money at the under that key number here. It would not surprise me to see a few more move to the seven. Like James said, I'm with him on the Cam Akers prop. I know he liked the attempts better at 16.5 than the yards. I went on both, and I also like the attempts better than the yards. And maybe you could look perhaps for some receiving yards as well, especially if Cooper Kupp is not ruled active for this game, in the fact that somebody's got to be a safety valve underneath for Jared Goff when he gets some pressure, and the number one candidate you would think in that regard would be Cam Akers. So the receiving yards, and I think I saw 15.5 somewhere yesterday. Obviously check your various shops around where you are and whatever jurisdiction in which you live, so numbers could vary, but in terms of the receiving yards, I could certainly sponsor that. 45.5 the total. Now seeing some 45s, including at BetMGM. I'm already split with the first half game and under on that one, and I'm with James on that Cam Akers over attempts prop.
Bills laying 2.5 at home against the Ravens, Orchard Park, New York today. James Salinas, you have some, I guess it would be crafty, but insightful, I think it might be the right word I'm looking for, prop bets in this game, defensive prop bets.
Yeah, and it's really just, again, trying to put the pieces together of what I think the game plans are going to be going into this matchup for both teams on both sides of the football. And ultimately, the couple defensive props that I did do was with the Bills, in particular for Tremaine Edmonds tackling, as well as Jordan Poyer. Those are the two leading tacklers for this team. They've been that way all season. They were the same case last year. And really, that's what Poyer is as a safety, as that strong safety. He's really a box safety, and he's going to have to be in this matchup. matchup as well. Last year when they played, very similar matchup from the Ravens' standpoint, even though there are a couple moves and changes on that offensive line, the identity is still intact as far as running the football, especially between the tackles. And I know we can, well documented, you can run the football at the Bills. They're a bit short of stature, but they're very fast as well. And I liked Edmonds as far as his speed goes. He can get sideline to sideline. He's going to be involved in a number of tackles. So hence, it was over 8.5 tackles for Edmonds at +112, and Poyer as well playing that box safety today, over 7.5 +128. So I like the fact that they're both plus money. So I expect both to get there, but even if one does and one doesn't, there's plenty of tackles to go around as far as how the Ravens run their offense. But even if they both don't get there, one does, one doesn't, I'm still going to be on the right side of the profit margin because both of those are getting a pretty, there's some juice to my side as far as that favorite goes. Now, the other prop that I did do as well here, Wes, is I couldn't get there on a side or a total. The weather is kind of concerning for me as far as the number goes. We know what the Bills are going to do. Great job by Allen and company over the offseason and throughout this year, really expanding that offense. I think as far as the passing acumen and accuracy goes for Josh Allen, and I think Diggs also heavily contributes to that. But it's still a very one-dimensional team. No Moss today to run the football either, so a lot of pressure on Singletary to have to cover that load. But really, the pressure is going to be on Josh Allen to win this football game. And he has the capacity to do that. There is going to be some gust of wind in that stadium. The wind chill will be biting as well. But I did find a prop as far as Allen was concerned, under 349.5 yards combined rushing and passing. I just feel like that's a lot of yards to get there. If he gets to 350 yards total, more than likely the Bills are probably going to win that football game. I'm not sure if they do or not, but as far as that number goes, that just seemed like a big number to me, hence I bet the under.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in terms of the Ravens defense, because this is not, when you kind of have a perception of what the Ravens defense is, you think, okay, very strong pass rush and very fast in the back end. There's a little more quality in the secondary, maybe necessarily, than there is on the defensive line. This is not a team that really gets a lot of pressure on the passer like they did in the old days. So we'll be interesting to see how they approach that and if Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of Baltimore, can disguise some coverages and try to confuse Josh Allen. What I'm probably going to end up doing is tailing James actually on those defensive props, because those absolutely make a lot of sense, because with the offense, especially on the Baltimore side, if you know that they're going to get rushing yards, you don't know who necessarily is going to be the chief rusher. The week before, it was J.K. Dobbins in Cincinnati. Last week, it was Lamar Jackson. It could be back to Dobbins again. It could be Gus Edwards. So that's what makes it tough to bet those Ravens offensive props. So probably we'll tell James on those defensive props he mentioned. And then really the only thing I had was just a teaser here, the Baltimore-Green Bay teaser. It just makes sense going through the key numbers. I mean, I know it's missed Mr. Obvious here, but sometimes Mr. Obvious plays a win, and I just think that the value in these numbers are so tight, teasing through those key numbers even has extra value this time of the year.
James, your final thoughts on the Chiefs and Browns coming up tomorrow and the Saints and the Buccaneers?
Yeah, as far as the Browns go, just the slow starts that we've seen through the month of December with the Kansas City Chiefs only scoring 44 points in the last four starts for Mahomes in that first half. I did take the Browns, who were riding a wave of momentum. Wes mentioned it earlier, playing with house money. This is a free roll for them. They've got nothing to lose here. I think they're going to be able to cover plus the 7. I did have to pay some juice for that in the first half at laying $1.20, but I did play the Browns in the first half plus the 7. And then as far as that Bucs Saints go, marquee matchup, I think both those quarterbacks are going to be able to throw the football, quiet stadium there, make their checks, make their reads, as well as I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of holding penalties out there either. I think they know full well the league and television wants to see points on the board. I suspect that's what we'll see there, so hence I did the over 51.5.
Ditto for me on that Cleveland spot in the first half for all the reasons we mentioned earlier in the program. I want to take New Orleans in the late game tomorrow, just kind of waiting to see the lowest price I could get on the money line going forward. But the over certainly makes some sense. There's a reason why Tampa Bay, New Orleans is in that prime spot on Sunday night.
For Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas, James Salinas in Denver, I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit. This has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. The Green Zone is next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.